Of the Holy Spirit in our lives is that he's making us very, very sensitive to his presence, walking with him uprightly, and he's just making us very sensitive. And there is a reason for that. And the reason one of the reasons that he's making us very sensitive to his spirit, to his presence, is so that we can maintain 24/7 that unbroken fellowship and relationship with him. And that he's going to make us so sensitive to anything that can hinder that relationship with him. And he's going to make us sensitive in order so that we experience that unbroken fellowship. Because the question that's often raised with regard to this is, well, the moment that I have sinned, or I have chosen to go my own way, or whatever it is, and we know that we go through much trial each day, that immediately breaks my relationship with God. Not necessarily. It will if we don't deal with it. Because if we don't deal with it, then we start to lose that peace. We start to lose the experience of his presence. Tells us then eventually sin takes over, and then from sin finally death. So we have warnings in this sensitivity of spirit that God is placing within us, and that is for a reason, so that as sons of God we are going to walk, if not already, in this unbroken fellowship. Genius, there an echo coming, isn't there? Because I think that'll come out. It's one of those. No, that mutes. That mutes it.
I've taken the volume down.
Are they? Yeah, can you take it down a bit more? That's it. That's better. We lost the echo, because I think you're picking up an echo, because I can hear it. It sounds as though I'm preaching in a valley. He's working this unbroken fellowship, because this is one of the requirements and one of the blessings that the sons of God have in the last day. It is the ultimate work of the Holy Spirit to redeem a people, to have a church, a bride who's making herself ready, that she walks in this unbroken fellowship. And this is why we have had, and continue still to have, the revelation of the blood of the Lamb. That we're not only washed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, but that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb is the key to this, to unbroken fellowship. And this is why I'm calling this teaching today, Discerning Inner Conflicts. So the work of the Spirit is getting us ultimately to obey. And we'll know when we are breaking this principle, because we won't always keep asking God. So one of the keys that we are now walking in a broken fellowship with God, one of the keys of discerning this is that we're not going to keep asking God all the time. If you walk in unbroken fellowship with God, you don't have to keep asking. And that is one of the giveaways in all of this. If you are still constantly asking God all the time, you can't wait to get into prayer with God, because the motive of your praying is, I need to ask God. Not bothered really about God himself and the one who gives, and that you have a covenant and a walk with him. You cannot wait to get into prayer, because there are things I have to ask of him. There are things that are happening. There are things that are taking my attention, my energy. I've got to get before God. I've got to get into warfare. I've got. Are you picking up something? That's often how we're going before God. With that fear, that anxiety, those worries, frustrations and so forth. God wants to get us delivered from all of that, to walk in unbroken fellowship with him. And whatever comes up, whatever situation, you will just simply talk it out with him. How often have you said, sometimes to someone, or sometimes with your children, they come in, something's happened to them, or something's happened to school, they come in, throw all the kit down, they come up to you, and, oh, Mum, no, and out it all comes, and you say, Pat, shush, wait a minute, stop. You know, because you're not understanding. They're hysterical, you know, so you've got to calm them down. And then, let's talk this out. We do exactly the same with God. It's like God's saying to us now as sons and daughters, stop it. Just be still. Let's just concentrate on each other. I have it under complete and utter control. Does it sound familiar? Of course it does. And that's what I sense he's doing now. That is the work he's doing in full gospel assembly. I can't speak for other churches, but I can say, as your pastor over the flock, if there's anything that God is now working on at this present time, he's getting us to stop panicking, getting into his presence. We're still at times going before him for the wrong reason and the wrong motive. Now, God has permitted that. Like all things, we have to change and develop, improve. We're a bit like sort of wine, aren't we? Or nice lump of cheese or whatever it is. It's got to mature, you know? It's a similar way with us. We've got to do away with some of the old ways that we depended upon, and let God renew us in the spirit of our mind and heart, because that's what he does. Our minds here today are being renewed by the Spirit of God. That is our deliverance. But you won't always keep asking. You won't be confessing so much all the time. I've got to come before God today, because I've got to make this positive confession. He's got to hear this confession as if he doesn't already know. Or I'm just going to pray this prayer once more, and I won't say any more, Lord, but I've got to pray because you've got to hear this. Does it all sound familiar? Of course it does. Because that's, you know, as if God is deaf. Do you know that God even reads and knows your mind, your desires, your heart? Even before you've ever confessed it before him. Do you know he even knows that? And if they're godly desires, well then they've been put there by the grace and mercy of God anyway. So that is the point. So we have to discern these inner conflicts because it's ultimately to get us to walk in obedience. That's the goal to all of this. Let's turn to a lovely story now in Genesis 24. We all love this story, don't we? Where a bride is to be found before Isaac, Abraham's son, and he sends his chief servant and makes a pact with him, a covenant with him, and he says, now you go and you find a bride for my son amongst my own people. Now he trusted this servant because he hasn't got to get this wrong. This is ultimately very important, a bride that is found for Isaac, because we wouldn't be here today. We're talking about the seed, the right seed, a holy seed, a redeemed seed. This is going to bring, this is the lifeline for Messiah to come. So everything is at stake with here to get this right. And if we look at verse 27, I just want to look at that because we all know this story well. But Genesis 24 and verse 27, of which it says here, and God said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth towards my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Who led him? The Lord. The Lord led him because that servant was obedient to Abraham. He had probably learnt from his master. For we know that Abraham learnt obedience to the point of offering up his son. So he has seen an example of one who walks in obedience. And as we look to Jesus, who is our master, we learn from him the walk of obedience, because that is the ultimate goal. And that is why God will allow us to have these inner conflicts, because these inner conflicts that we go through at times are an indication we're not walking in the will and in obedience to the Lord. And that's why he allows them. And thank God he does, because there's a whole purpose and a reason behind this. And the point of all of this is that we should be so one with God that we don't need to ask. He didn't need to go and ask around, well, how many girls are there, how many young women are here, and, you know, knocking on the door and finding out how many young women are in this family or whatever it is. Nothing like that at all. The Spirit is leading him, the same as the Spirit leads us. And there's no striving attached to it. There's no inner turmoil and conflict. And there are always the signs when we're not being led by the Holy Spirit. If we're going in our own way, our own independent will, there are then these inner turmoils and conflicts that are going on. This isn't actually rocket science, brothers and sisters. And that is why God is ever bringing us, is ever keeping us at the altar, Romans 12, 1 and 2, for that surrender. That giving up of ourselves, that taking up our cross, going to that Garden of Gethsemane, is a settling where it is God's will and not my will. Now, we're going to go through experiences of where that principle of where we've settled it will come into operation. But when you come to surrendering to God's will, the difference will be is, I settled that, therefore grace and mercy now is in operation. And God is going to work with me, he's going to work with my heart, how he's going to do it, I do not know, but he's going to do it where I will be only too pleased to yield and surrender to the perfect will of God. When God requires something of us, the immediate effect that takes place in our life is our flesh will not like it. The flesh of man does not like the ways of God. Only religious people lie in that area, and that's why they do outward physical things to try and show that they are religious and pious and separate from God, whether it's robing up or flagellations or denying themselves things or whatever it is. That's what the religious people do, because they're trying to punish the flesh, you see, because they know there's that conflict. Well, we know that you can't please God with that. You can't deceive God with that. The only way we can deal with the flesh is to surrender it and put it on the altar. And God will do all the rest. You don't have to do any more. Because someone said to me, well, how will I know when a trial comes? I've surrendered myself on the cross, but nothing seems to happen. You know, I don't feel anything, whatever. You know, and you talk about trials and so forth. I always remember this. I said, you don't have to go looking for it. You don't have to go looking for it. If you've settled it, and you said what you've done, you can be well assured the Holy Spirit will have a way. It wasn't above 3 or 4 days after they'd said that to me, the phone rings. Oh, Pastor, you're right. You are right. I didn't know it was going to be like this. I'm in an absolute turmoil. I'm in an absolute conflict. I said, if you have settled it, I can tell you who'll win. Not you, God. And just believe it. Just stay there, stay in there, and you will come through. You will come through. How he gets us through, I do not know, but he does. Only God can bring us through the fires, unscathed, untouched. And he does. So, and you know, we can apply that test of the flesh in our general discernment. If God is on the scene, and God is about to do something, Satan's always there to try and counterfeit. Because he wants you always to take a substitute. He'll always try and come along with that dangling carrot and try to get you to take that instead of God's perfect will. You see, God's perfect will for us is impossible to have in the natural. It's impossible to overcome. They're called mountains. They're called giants. Or whatever name you want to call them. This whole walk as an overcomer is impossible. Unless you are a new creation, baptized in the Spirit, and you're walking the way of the cross as a disciple of Christ, you will never walk this. That's why sadly some have gone back over the years. We have to discern between what is God and what is of the flesh. And you cannot discern this, and listen to this, brothers and sisters, you cannot discern this one by the mere intellect of the mind, which at times we try to do. This is a witness that comes by the Spirit. It is an opening of the eyes where God shows us what is of His Spirit, of His building, and what is a substitute, a counterfeit. And we see this in operation in the world. We see it in operations over the land, over governments, over whatever it would be. We can see this conflict of what Satan's trying to produce and what God is producing. Because for a season, he always comes as a counterfeit. And the Lord allows him that access because God is always teaching us something through what he tries to do. Only God can do that. Because you could say, well, why did you let that happen? Why did you let Satan do what he did or whatever it is? God is in sovereign, he's in complete control. And often it'll be because I was teaching, showing you something. So that you could discern what is of my Spirit and what isn't. And always one of the big giveaways, isn't it? Whatever Satan throws up, you will generally find that the world will accept it. The world will go along with it. The world will endorse it. This is why you see we don't celebrate Christmas. As we've said before, and we'll say it again, if God required us to celebrate Christmas, and it was in the Word of God, which it isn't, I can assure you the world wouldn't celebrate it. Period. It wouldn't, because it's anti-God. So the very fact that the world follows it, and the very fact that the world gets so upset when we say that we don't celebrate it, and always, of course, the adults always use that one, oh, but it's for the children, isn't it? Well, they lie. It's not, it's for them as well. You know? So that's always the excuse that's behind it. But there's a giveaway, you see? And you can apply that principle to so many things. That's why when the world is going after something, or going after someone, or this new idea, or this new drug, or you name it, whatever it is, you can 9 times out of 10, you can guarantee God's not in that. Because whatever God brings forth, the world rejects. And human nature has not changed. They rejected his son. They wanted a murderer, a thief, in place of Jesus. That was how bad the world was. That's how bad God's people were. That was Israel. With all the knowledge and light that they had in their history. They were quite prepared. They knew this man was not innocent. We'll have him instead. Put him to the cross. That is how it always works and always will until Jesus comes. And even we get glimpses, even in the millennium, when Jesus comes to rule and reign, we're told, with a rod of iron, of which you also will be ruling and reigning in that manner. And it shows that they're not going to be terribly keen on this. God knows the heart, and so he's going to permit and allow for a season for Satan to be released. Because he's going to check the heart motives again. You see? God is not fooled by any means. This is why you have to have a new heart, a new nature placed within you. That's why you are not your own anymore. You have been bought with a price. You have been purchased. I am not my own anymore. And we've got to learn that one. We've got to get that from our heads to our hearts. You now have the fullness of God living in and through you. Hallelujah. These are profound mysteries that we have eternity in which to learn about. But we should be so one with God that we don't need to keep all this asking all the time. And when we choose to disobey, then the light that we have as we walk in the light starts to change, and immediately these inner conflicts start to happen. Actually, these conflicts are spiritually their warnings. And so God loves us so much that he begins to warn us. And we've got to stop whatever we're doing, and you get before God. You get before him for the purpose of being renewed in the spirit of your mind. That is the ultimate work that God does to us. You get before him, we come, that's the same why we come to these meetings. We come for the word of God, because we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Because if our minds are not affected, then neither is our heart. Because it's out of the heart of the issues of life. You will do, you will go, you will be whatever is in your heart. This is why God is delivering us. He doesn't want us like these dogs returning to its own vomit, which we do at times. We've got to come to that place to see his guiding hand at work in my life all the time. And he's not going to go contrary to his word. So whatever God is doing, whether it be individually in your life or with your family or with this church, it's never going to go contrary to the word of God which you are reading in your meditation with him. That is the whole point. That's again how we discern, how we test, and so on. He's teaching us to see him in everything. That's what he's teaching you. In the renewing of your mind, he is teaching you to see him in everything. Romans 8, isn't it? All things work together for good. Everything. So everything imaginable, everything you can put your mind to, every weakness, sin, everything, God is using that to bring you to the place of deliverance and change, the renewing of your mind. He uses every microscopic detail, every minuscule thing you can think imaginable that you are consciously aware of, he is using that to bring about his perfect will and plan in your life. It's absolutely mind-blowing, this is. Why? Because this stops us always asking, which very often hinders us. You see, God is never going to work with us that is going to bring us into bondage, unlike what the enemy does, or people, or whatever it is. You know, we all of us, haven't we? We've all experienced a scene where people make a wrong choice, a wrong decision, and it doesn't take long when you start to see the bondage building up. You know, you even hear it in families, you know, little Johnny or Jane or whatever it is, she's not what she used to be. You know, something's changed. You're not that person you used to be. And how often do you hear that said in families? I've heard it said and so on. It's because sin is doing that. Something is changing that person, changing the personality, the character, the thinking, the mind. The joy is gone. You can't talk to that person like you once used to. You know, like walking on eggshells. It doesn't matter what I say, they erupt, they explode, or whatever it is. Do you know that? That's because they're doing it, they want their own way, their own will. And it takes the grace and mercy of God to stop that person in their tracks. And it's called our faith, our believing, our intercession. That's why we hold on to household salvation. And as I've always said so many times, when you start praying for them, it's like they go from bad to worse. It does. You think, whatever's going on? You know, I'm praying for them, and look, at if anything, they're going further and further away. Well, I can tell you something, that's actually a good sign. Believe it or not. That is actually a good sign. Something's happening. Something is going on. They're in an inner turmoil. This conflict. And God will get them so desperate that they'll fall to their knees because they're desperate for peace of mind and heart. They are. You see, this is why, brothers and sisters, we're called to faithfulness. And this is what keeps us humble in His presence. This is what deals with pride, which tries to raise its ugly head. This faithfulness keeps us before God in unbroken fellowship. And if you desire to be faithful, which is what an overcomer is, then this keeps us in harmony, fellowship. This keeps us walking in the light as He is that light. And anything that tries to go contrary to that, we start to get these inner conflicts start to happen. You see? And you have to stop. There are times when you think, I can't go any further in this. I've got to stop. I've got to get before God. I'm not at peace as I should be. There are things that are not clear. And you remain before God. And sometimes I don't talk it out with God. I just get into His presence. I just worship Him. I wait on Him. And I find it comes out then by the Spirit. I don't have to work at it. It's coming out. He's bringing it out. He's gone right to the root. He's shown me what it is. But I can only see that in His presence. We can only see these things in His presence. We can't see otherwise. Because it's His presence which is light into our soul, into our heart, our being, our circumstances, everything. We won't see it otherwise. And this is why, you see, it's so easier to be busy doing religious things. This is why religious zealots bring more problem into the house of God than anything else, because they equate their spiritualness as being busy, busy, busy. And it's a big problem, that. It's a lot harder to walk humbly, faithfully before God. That sorts out the men in the boys. To walk humbly and faithfully before God takes all the grace and mercy of God working in our lives. Because it is so much easier to have a busy life packed with so many things and religious things. And that, of course, is what you find in so many of our churches and denominations. I saw it. I was one of them. I was busy, 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 but I didn't know anything. Start to get on spiritual things and the Word of God, and you know, I found there were one or two others that left me miles behind. But when I began to look at some of those, they were ones who were in prayer. They were ones who were just very quietly just meditating the Word of God. They didn't outwardly appear to be very dynamic. Possibly to the world, quite boring. But they're the ones who've got that inner knowledge. They're the ones that have that walk, that stand with God, you see. This is why God is not in the earthquake. He's not in the far. He's not in the whirlwind. He's in the core, in the inner center. That is where often he's to be found. Man wants the euphoria. He wants to feel great. He wants to be entertained. That's exactly what the enemy does. This is why you've got all the froth and bubble so much that they call worship today, particularly sadly amongst charismatics. And I tell you, most of it doesn't go any higher than the ceiling. That's the tragedy that we have today, because they want to be entertained. God doesn't entertain us. Never does and never will. You're not into it. He doesn't even need them. And people might say to me, oh, this all sounds terribly boring, Pastor, what you're presenting. Oh, well, you walk with God. If you're experiencing this, it's not boring. It's the greatest thing that can ever happen. And you'll find that you can have fun with God as well. And I'm not being irreverent when I say that. You'll find he has a wonderful sense of humor. You'll find that he enjoys smiling. You'll find that he has no problem rejoicing and dancing in praise and worship. You'd probably be the first there in the front line. You see? But there is a way we approach God, and it is a lifetime to be taught it, because he's a consuming fire. And if you don't approach this right, if you're flippant, indifferent, you can get burnt up by his mere presence. So there is that other side to God, that this walk is not what Satan would have you to think it is. Anything but. And this is why we have to avoid being emotionally moved. And prayer will get us to be of more use before God if we have this prayer life, if we walk with him and get before him. If you've got this prayer life and you come before his presence, you're going to be of much more use, because it's what stems, what comes from it, than just being emotionally moved. You cannot be emotionally moved into a ministry. You cannot be emotionally persuaded that you will obey God and do it his way on just mere emotions, which sadly a lot happens in Christendom. We've done it ourselves. And that's why we fall flat on our face and nothing came of it, because it was based on emotions. It comes as we wait and are still in the presence of God. It comes from that unbroken fellowship that we have with him. And if we find that emotions are motivating and moving us, we're going to get pretty quickly those inner conflicts, because they don't last. They change like the wind, you see. It isn't faith. You see, prayer will provide the right person and circumstances in this whatever situation. It might not even be you. We may be praying over a situation. We may be praying over things that are needed in this church. And as you get into prayer and intercession, and if you're really hearing from God, then God's going to say, thank you for praying this. You've been obedient to my spirit. You're praying and interceding this through. But I'm going to have to tell you, you aren't the person. Somebody else is actually that person. Now that can be hard when you're hoping in your heart it's going to be you. And we're always to say, here am I, Lord, use me. So that, but he might not just use you, but he might use you to pray and intercede for somebody who is going to use. Now only the humble can accept that one. Get before God, because I'm your man, Lord, you see. Or woman, but we might just not be, you see. So we have to be open before God. as to how he works. He's sovereign. He's God. He's Lord. He doesn't make mistakes. That's why I'm always a great believer. If God has something on your life, or he's calling you to do something, whatever it is, you're not going to be too happy about it. You're going to find yourself wanting to run away. But somehow he'll stop you, he'll cause you to yield, and you'll find the grace is there, and he will equip them. Do I know about that one? Because I can talk from experience. I had a year of one of the most unhappiest times of my life when I was running away from this ministry. And eventually I fell on my knees. Talk about inner conflicts going on. I had a storm going on for a year. Convinced myself that I was doing God's will, and I was going to, you know, do what I wanted to do for God. And he had completely different ideas. The very thing that you find you are in turmoil with, you see, I always said, even back in the denominations, I want to work for God, I'll do whatever God wants, but there's only one thing I'm never ever going to be, that is a vicar, a pastor. That was the language I used, you see. I'm never going to be that. I don't know why, I just couldn't. The thought of it was just everything. Look at it. Look what's happened. The very thing I said, I ran away from. And I remember I used to tell them in the youth club that I used to belong to, I'd never be a vicar. I wouldn't be a minister. No way. You know, so arrogant. And I could hear myself in those days. The very thing that I said was the very thing that God has got me to do. Now you try and work that one out. You can't. You can't. He just shows us, or he showed me anyway, that he doesn't take any notice at times what comes out of our mouth. And thank God for that. You see, even though confession does play a part, but God is even sovereign over that. But your prayers, intercessions will always provide the right person for the right job, for the right circumstances. That is why prayer, praying for the body, praying for each other, is vital. Because it may be you that is praying that fivefold ministry into office. And as I bring this to a close now, as God has revealed this to me, but God wants FGA moving in his perfect will and getting delivered from these inner conflicts that still hinder us, that still stop us from coming regularly to fellowship, and all these things that still go on, these isms. You have to settle it. It is not my will, your will be done. And then whatever the circumstances, that peace, that joy just floods your soul. And you can rest then. It gets Satan off your back. And that is ultimately what he's doing. Why is there such an emphasis in this? Because I am convinced, and we talked about this on the way up in the car, we're on the brink of a major breakthrough in this church, and how the enemy knows it, and how he's trying to throw the book at us, in a sense. But we're on a big breakthrough for the next step. I think we had in prophecy, I'm right, that the new pastors we've got going to. You see, if you're a farmer and you look after sheep, cattle, whatever it is, one thing you have to learn, that field that they are in is only temporary. It's not going to provide them food 24/7 for eternity. Fields are not made that way. Fields have to rest to produce again its harvest. So what does the farmer have to do? he moves them off into new territory. Cattle, particularly sheep, and I've watched this, I've watched farmers do this with sheep, I can tell you something, sheep don't like it. They don't. And that's why they have to be reared, they've got to be moved and everything, and the noise they make, the bleating. But you know, once they get in, and once they see the new pastures, and once they get a sniff of that grass and everything, they're as happy as lambs. Because they've got fresh food, and so on. FGA, that is precisely what God is about to do with us. And you can go with this, and you can move to those new pastures, or you can dig your heels in and say, I ain't moving, I'm quite happy where I am. It's entirely up to you, because we don't force anyone. I know where I want to go, and by the grace and mercy of God, I know where I'm going. And if you love the Lord Jesus, and you have the end time vision, and you are moving in the light with him, then you know everything within you say, well, it may be hard, yeah, the flesh may not like it, but as far as I'm concerned, I've settled it, I'm on the move, let's go. Because that's what God is looking for. He's getting all of us ready for that move. Because the shepherd's heart is not for one to be left behind. That is not his heart, you see. That is why we have to be in unity and fellowship. Because unity and fellowship causes a body to continue to move forward. Disunity stops that, as Satan knows. And that's why he holds so many churches, and they're in conflict, in division. They have very little vision, and they certainly don't know these spiritual moves into new pastures. Satan's not stupid, but we're above him. We have been given authority over him. And we don't listen to him, we listen to Jesus. Well, discerning those inner conflicts, that's what we've been discussing today. And I trust that we've been yet further renewed in the spirit of our mind.
Jesus is